You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Brooklyn-based sculptor Jo Nikogosyan, and she is going to talk to us about different points in her career and her current work. Jo, thanks so much for being with us today.
Sure, hi.
So to begin with, let's talk a little bit about what's happening right now. What are you doing in your studio? Are you preparing for a show or working on something for the next show? What's happening right now in your studio?
Right now, I'm working on some proposals for outdoor works. So not actually making physical work, but concentrating on applying for some grants and making a commissioned piece for a building.
For a building? Is that in New York? Or?
It's not. It's in Alabama, actually. It's a collector. It was strange. I mean, I just sort of wanted to work on something for outdoors because I make a lot of larger sculpture that is not the easiest thing to sell. So I'm stuck with a bunch of large pieces to store in New York and have quite a small studio. So I was just like, I need to stop making these things. I don't know. I was just like, I need to work on something that is definitely not going to be in my studio when it's done, and outside seemed to be the best place for it, and a commission. Then I know it's going.
Right. And at the moment, you're a full-time artist. You're also working other jobs. How does that work?
Working other jobs. So, at the moment, well, this year's been sort of weird because I've always worked another job. And this year I got a Pollock Krasner grant. So I was able to work part-time at the beginning of the year. And then I took the summer off and then went on a trip to Brazil with another grant. I mean, I kind of live off grants to do my work, and then came back from this trip and started working full-time. So now I'm working full-time and applying for more grant money.
And the grant money is from all different sources? It's not, I mean, Pollock Krasner is one, but
you're applying sources.
And where do you look for those grants? Is there a specific resource you use to look for grants, or?
Not really. I just sort of do my own searches online. A lot of them you can't just apply on your own. But things that friends have told me about or had success with, the Jerome Foundation was one of them. And I guess that, well, the NYFA one is coming up, so for sculpture, I'm applying for
that. So let's move back a little bit. That's what's happening now. What were your beginnings in art as a child or, you know, a very young adult? What was your first experience that made you think art was something that you should be pursuing?
What really stands out to me is the first show that I saw was, that made me just think this is the only thing I can do is, was a Sensation show in London. I think I was 18. I'd done art before, like drawing and, still life classes. Things like that, but it wasn't. And prior to that, I'd seen a couple exhibitions with friends, but it wasn't my parents weren't into art, or I didn't really have that much exposure. But then that show just kind of made it clear that I could do exactly what I wanted to do. Like, it wasn't, there wasn't one way or another. And that was sort of my problem, I think. I knew I was creative, but not, there wasn't a specific way. And that's just, I mean, most of the work in that show, I mean, I walked around that show just kind of amazed and so excited. I mean, it's, I think it was some of Sarah Lucas's work was in that show. I was just kind of like, couldn't believe that an artist could use these materials, these kind of really crappy materials, and the work could be so strong and the message so so not shitty, should I say, like sort of everyone could understand it, which meant a lot to me, because art had, I felt like I couldn't really access it before. That,
right.
And that was important. So that was kind of permission in a way.
Right. And that was quite a remarkable show. And but whose work was that specifically you were talking about? I know like Damien Hirst and Tracy Emin and Mark Quinn were in that show. Sarah Lucas.
Sarah Lucas is like the fried eggs piece, and I think there was a couch with some neon pieces going through it. Her work, Tracy Emin too, the tent piece. These were all the artists that I thought, okay, I can use whatever I have to make art. Whereas, you know, and then, but obviously, like Damien Hirst's work was just crazy, incredible. Who else was in it? The Chapman Brothers. I can't remember who did this Myra Hindley piece, the handprint, but. The whole show was amazing, but
And that was
1996.
Sarah Lucas,
is right.
Sarah Lucas, yeah, amazing artist. It's true. So that was 1997. What happened after that show? That sounds like a turning point to some degree. What was your next step?
After that, I'm not sure if I was doing a foundation in London then. I might have done a foundation, which is what you do after your A-levels. And then I took a year. Then I think I took a year and a half off. I applied for grad schools. Like I applied for Goldsmiths, but I didn't get in. So then I took some time off. I assisted a photographer. I was pretty heavily into photography at the time. And it was a photographic journalist. So we actually went around other artist studios, and it was kind of interesting in London. But then I went to Kent. I went to Kent to start specializing in photography, undergrad. And I hated it. It was in Maidstone, Kent. So I left. And then I guess I came back to London. I'm kind of not sure exactly. Basically, soon after I left Kent, I moved to San Francisco. I did like a short trip around America. I'm from America. And I really wasn't having a good time in England, so I left. Went to San Francisco, had seen the Art Institute there, applied, and then did my undergrad at the Art Institute. And I could transfer some credits, blah, blah, blah. So sorry, that's not really good to say in this interview, but
so you were born in the States?
Yes, I was born in Los Angeles.
So then you did your undergraduate work there, and you got a BFA in the States.
Yes.
And how is that? That must have changed things for you quite a bit. It's a different culture to some degree, or maybe it felt like coming home. I don't know. How was that? How was the experience of getting the BFA, and what did that do for you?
The experience was, it was very, like, a really experimental period. It was interesting because we didn't have studios. In some, like, I was in the new genres course, and so we didn't have studios, and it was, you basically had to, like, set up one night, kind of make the work in the space that night, or have your bits together and show it the next day and then take it down the next day. So the pace was quite fast. And it was really quite hardcore, the critiques there, so much so that, like, afterwards, when I did my master's, I kind of couldn't believe how easy people were.
Really?
On each other.
So where were you getting your undergraduate degree? Where was that?
San Francisco Art Institute.
And the critiques were...
Just very intense, like, what's your intention? You really had to know what you were doing. You just got asked, you were just bombarded with questions, and everyone was just very critical. I had Tony Labatt was one of the teachers there, and I just remember even, like, going into his first class, he was, people were kind of introducing their work, and somebody showed, I think it was like a cartoony type video, but it wasn't, the video wasn't critical anyway, in any way, or it didn't seem like, basically Tony asked the kid some questions, and the kid I can't even remember if he didn't what he said exactly, but Tony just said you can't be in this class. You need to be in a different class. So it was just like very, like you had to work basically hard.
Right.
For yourself.
it's almost a caricature of the kind of brutal critic that, you know, critique that, you know, artists endure or survive. You know.
Yeah.
Some people survive those, some people don't.
Yeah, it was funny. I mean, now it's kind of funny, but it was exciting, and it obviously, like, it affected me a lot.
It was inspiring, or it was upsetting?
Inspiring, and everyone was just working so hard. You know, like, the students were, like, pushing each other. You got a lot from the students. And it just seemed like you couldn't make excuses.
Right.
Things.
That's good. So then you're out of undergraduate school, and the next step was to apply to graduate school. Is that what happened there?
No. I went back to England. Basically, had no money, went back to England to live with my brother, just thought, I'm going to work there. I thought I probably would apply for a master's in England. And then basically had a miserable time trying to get work, working for, like, below minimum wage. Like, I worked for a editing company. I was on different kinds of benefits. You know, it was just kind of actual total nightmare. And I was there for 2 years, and I just decided I had to move back to the States where my friends from undergrad were all living in LA at the time. So then I moved to LA, and I worked again for 2 years there, and then applied for grad school. I thought I could afford to not go to grad school and just like show things in LA.
And what happened? Why not? You're trying to show things and you couldn't.
I don't know how much I was really trying. It was I was making video. I was moving around a lot. I was just making video. I did voyeuristic video at the time. So I didn't have any stuff apart. You know, I just had like a crappy camera and computer. And I had one friend there who really supported my work. Maybe a couple, but they were just sort of doing their own work. They weren't really showing. They had started grad school themselves. And it seemed like other people I knew, like I was assisting an artist, they were in different stages of their careers. So I'm not sure. I think it was just, maybe I just didn't know what to do or how.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then after that 2 years, you began applying to grad school.
Yes. I guess within those 2 years, and I was applying to USC. I wanted to stay in LA. So I applied to USC, and then as I was applying to USC, because I was working full time, so these are other things. And I applied to USC. I thought I might as well apply to other grad schools while I'm at it, because it's such a process. So I applied to Columbia, Yale, Hunter, and UCLA. And I think Yale was the last interview. Everything else, I got a couple interviews, but I didn't get in to the programs. And then Yale was the last one that I got in, and I got in. So that was pretty exciting.
That is pretty exciting. So
yeah.
Then... you moved to the East Coast and began going to Yale, which was that Jessica Stockholder that was the head of the department?
Yes.
Then?
Yes. Jessica was the head of the department. Joe Scanlon was there, and Daphne Fitzpatrick. They were like the three core faculty. Yeah.
How was the experience at Yale? A lot of people have mixed experiences there, but what was your experience?
My experience was, I had an incredible time. I had I think both of my studio picks. We moved building in my second year, but the first year in this huge, amazing building, I got a massive studio. I mean, I literally did not know what to do with it first. It was just, because I came with like video. I applied with a full video portfolio, and I was like, I want to move back into sculpture, because the last sculpture I did was in undergrad, which was, you know, 2003, I don't know, 4 years before, 5 years before I got it. So it was like really odd. I didn't have any tools, you know. It was just, I don't really know how to use that many tools. It was just like there was a lot of potential for this space. So I was really, I had an amazing time.
Well, yeah. It's very different from what you had just experienced. Now you have a studio, it's a huge one, and you're changing mediums, or you're going back to the medium that is your own. You're going from video to sculpture. I mean, they have a relationship, but you're focusing on building some kind of sculpture there.
Yeah, yeah. I tried to combine them both at first, which was a disaster. Tried quite hard, but a lot of the video was in, a lot of my video was, it was voyeuristic, and it was in public spaces or videoing, like low-income housing, playgrounds, or just different public, like, kind of controlling spaces. And I sort of started by trying to add these installation elements, like by create, like with cement, by making the environment, and then and having some video too, but it ended up just being like, it was much more interesting to be around the objects. I mean, I just couldn't combine the two. It was over that part of the video. But anyway.
And then you began working on what you now call what kind of used sculptures?
Yeah, well, it was, I think the cement started very, it was very utilitarian, just like had this, I'm a block, this is my function. And then what happened was I tried to make some gargoyles out of cement, and I didn't know how to make the inner structure at all, the armature. And I think I had, like, newspaper that I was, like, crunched into shape, and then I was, like, wrapping cement like a mummy, kind of dipped in burlap around this form to try and sculpt this form. And it was just crushing on itself. And then, you know, I kind of was like, that's interesting. You know, that was interesting trying to, like, force the cement. It's just, like, falling off, you know, just does not want to stay.
Right.
And then I just thought about, like, pushing something to do what it didn't want to do. Which I guess it kind of, like, related to this crowd control, these crowd control sculptures, I guess, that forced you to do something. And then it was like kind of like taking that material and pushing it a different way. And then it just ended up like, I found that when I was trying to, like, the further I got into, I don't know, pushing form, the more I was trying to get a form I wanted to get, as you got closer, parts of the sculpture would get weaker, and there'd be like this fragility, or things would break, basically. And, you know, it was frustrating. I was trying to fix things, and, like, you know, be like, I'd get so angry, and then it was like, okay, well, I guess that's it. You know, that's it. That's part of it. I have to get that. One part has to be like that for the other part to excel, or whatever. That kind of thing.
And then you mean by one part has to be like that, the kind of tension of things falling apart that are trying to be put together, and have some evidence of that?
Yeah, like of a kind of sort of struggle of trying to fight something in a way. And like, it's like material wants to, I'm sort of trying to sort of take the path of most resistance in the way that can, I can, it feels like there's a potential to change something the most.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
It does make sense.
Okay.
It's a path of least resistance, but at the same time, it shows.
No, the most. It's like the thing that doesn't want. Yeah, the thing that doesn't want to change the most. That's the thing I want to change the most. Like, I don't want to change the way I'm looking at something. I want to really change it.
Right.
And it's like an edge. It's like it's sort of. There's a shifting into.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And the image that I have in mind is the piece that was on the sculpture center block.
Seems
to be a little bit to represent that dialogue to some extent.
Yeah, well, like that, yeah, definitely. And that piece was like, you know, I had so much, that was making it in public, which I'd never done. I thought, I can't do this. So embarrassing. And I thought I wouldn't be able to focus. And it was, and you did have all these people saying, oh, you know, why don't you build an armature, cover it in cement like this, you know, basically sculpting the cement on top of mesh or whatever. And I was just like adamant to make it this solid form. I wanted to make a mold. I didn't want to know exactly what it was going to be like. I wanted it to be sort of pathetic and weak, like something large, imposing. For me, it has to have this, I wanted to push it into like its weakness. You know, that structure, that sculpture, like, would move, actually. And that was, everyone was like, put more metal on the feet. And I was just like, no. You know, there has to be that potential for it to.
You mean it moved? It kind of rocked a little bit? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, there was like flex in the feet, because, you know, it was in this like chicken feet. So there was like, if you push the top of it, you could move it back and forth. Which, you know, worried people, but actually it wasn't going to break. It didn't break. I sort of knew it wasn't going to break, so I was like, whatever. Not adding another third leg, basically.
Right. So then you graduated Yale, and what was your first show in New York? You moved to New York, to Brooklyn after that?
Yes. My first show.
Can I get you guys to stop doing something else in Brooklyn?
Well, yeah. First of all, I actually moved and was staying with an artist in Soho who I'd known from undergrad, actually. And he was doing quite well. He is doing quite well. Oh, I'm not sure. He had gone to Yale previously, and I just asked him, actually. I was looking for bartending work, and he actually said, do you want to make some pedestals for me? So I ended up staying. He was back and forth to Miami because he had a studio in Miami. So I would stay at his place and was making, I think I made 10 pedestals in his bathroom. It was very odd. It hadn't been turned into a bathroom yet, but it was a very small room with no windows, and I made these cement pedestals in there. Really strange first job, but I did that, and then I subletted a lot, moved around, got random bartending jobs. It was pretty bad at the beginning. I think my first show was the following year. I think it might have been the fall of the following year. I got a studio maybe 6 months. No. Maybe 6 months after being here, a basement studio. Split it with somebody. And then the first show, I can't remember. Actually, the first show I was in was at Martos Gallery. It was a group. No, not Martos Gallery. I can't remember the name of the gallery. The gallery wasn't important to me, but it was Kyle Thurman, who's an artist, and Matt Maravec, who has a gallery now in Dusseldorf. They're very young. They curate the show, and they'd seen my thesis show. So it was an older work, but that was the first show. It was a group show.
And how did you get in that show? How did that happen?
It was just Kyle, one of the curators, had seen my work at Yale, the thesis show. So he just contacted me.
Huh. And what year was that? That's 2000.
I think that was like
2010 or 11, 10?
It might have been 9. That was when I first moved. It was a work that was in my thesis show, so I didn't make anything new for it. But the main show that I was in that people, more people saw was at West Street Gallery, which is this small apartment gallery on the West Side Highway. And it was run by Alex Gartenfeld, who is a writer, and he's actually standing in as the director of the Museum of Modern Art in Miami right now. And he's very young, but he has supported my work a lot. I shouldn't keep saying everyone's so young. Just makes it sound like I'm really old.
Right. But did you have any purchases of work around this time or since then?
No. I don't sell my work.
You haven't sold work, but...
I have, there's a collector who's bought a couple pieces, but in general, no, and that's why I'm working so much, and that's why I am sort of focusing on commissions, because otherwise I'm like, how am I going to do this? I mean, I'm having to, like, get rid of work. I mean, sculpture in New York, I had this tiny storage unit. I had to, like, kick the work in to close the door.
Right. So how do you focus on commissions? What does that mean? How do you get a commission for public work? You mean outdoor work or any type of commission?
Yeah, I mean, any. I mean, it's just a new kind of stance that I'm taking. I'm just kind of like, I can't keep making sculpture, because this is another thing. It's not, I blow a lot on the sculpture. So every time I make one, I'm, you know, it's not like I have money left over. If I had a different way of making sculpture, it might work, but I'm quite, I'm a little bit reckless in the way that I just put everything into it. So I think I just decided I need to focus on things being paid for, basically.
Right.
And the way I'm doing that is just, I mean, there's a foundation I found.
In that foundation?
Art Production Fund is called.
Sure.
I hadn't seen it before recently. So, like, right now I'm working on a proposal to send to them. I don't know much about them. I just found it online, and I can see the artists that they've helped. But I think you have to, like, decide where you want to work, and they hook you up with other organizations. And then, as I said, there's this other... I had a studio visit. I said I wanted to do an outdoor work with lights on a building, and the person in the studio said, I have a building, you know. So that's how that happened.
Huh. The Art Production Fund, yeah.
For.
All right.
What's that?
So the Art Production, but the... You're saying that's what you asked for, and that just came to be. But the Art Production Fund is also helping with produce proposals for public pieces.
It looks like you would send them a proposal, and if you wanted to do it in a specific place, they would help you get in touch with that place, and they do fund projects. I'm not sure how much they fund. You might need to have help from somewhere else. But
no, I know that organization. They've done some wonderful shows in the Armory and different places, and it looks like the funding comes from several areas, but they help produce shows that have been wonderful. That's, I think, Yvonne Force.
Oh, you know this place. Okay.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, I know some of the people there. I think Yvonne Force Villarreal is still one of the people running it, isn't she? Yvonne Forrest. Oh, maybe you haven't seen them yet, but okay, so that's great. So that brings us up to the present. You're in your studio. What's next for you? What do you think seems next on the horizon? Is it more commissions? Is it travel? What do you imagine will happen next?
I'm imagining outdoor work next year. Travel definitely next year. I went to Brazil this year as a research trip, the Pantanal Basin, and that was incredible. I need to get out of New York. Tricky. I live in my studio, so another thing I would like to live separately. So there's things that I'm trying to set up more than anything. I'm not really small, like a couple shows, talking about doing a show with a friend, a painter friend of mine. But you know what? Actually, it's just having control over where my work goes is important to me. And that's why, like, sort of as opposed to, like, doing shows that I'm invited to do, it's, which I don't do that regularly anyway, but it's more like just sort of designing sculptures and trying to find places for them. I thought about residencies. I'm not sure. I think firstly I need to have a separate studio.
Right.
There's a lot, and I haven't really figured out, because funding is key to doing any of this. So,
absolutely. And so, thanks a lot for talking with us today. In conclusion, is there anything, you know, this is reaching artists mostly. Not just on the Yale campus, but around the world. Is there anything you want to say to the artists who are listening to this? I mean, this show interviews people who are very well established, and people who are you know, beginning their careers as you are, and they're part of what they're extracting from the interview is how you've navigated the world so far, and it's not an easy task. So most artists are facing something of an uphill battle. Is there anything you want to leave or say to those artists?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that my main thing is, like, that you have to, or I found that I have to do things I don't want to do, meaning socially. Going to things I don't want to go to, putting effort in. I just think it's, you wish, I know some artists who didn't have financial means to, not work or blah, blah, blah. And there's still under the misconception that you can stay in your studio and make work and somebody will come knocking on your door and discover you or something. But it's, I would say, you have to do the social work to get your work out there. That's what I would say.
Which is
essentially, that's the important thing. I just mean you have to meet people. You have to meet people you get on with and who are really pushing themselves to, and and I think this is the point. Is like, it can be really disappointing and disheartening, but you get closer to people that you like or will like or who will be more inspiring the more you do it, is the bottom line.
Jo, thanks so much for being on the show today. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.